With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Sitting across from me is Kurt Hoag here in our downtown offices in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We are looking back at our preseason prognostications, the geniuses that are J.R. Radcliffe and Kurt Hoag.
The genii.
About to unveil all of our amazing preseason foresight. Kurt, I'm just going to, spoiler alert, they're real bad. They're really, really bad.
Did you clip any of the good? Was there any good?
I searched for good. I searched. We are going to have to apologize as we revisit what we thought was going to happen in the 2025.
I tried so hard this year. There are
morsels of things we said that you could defend, but it's going to be real tough. So we're going to do that. We're going to look back at our moments of the year. We've got a little sort of three up, three down, I guess. One last version of that. Looking back at our favorite moments from 2025. Do you want to do that first, or do you just want to get right into the predictions?
Let's get into the predictions first.
I love that for us. All right. So to reset the stage of what we did with our predictions, we had four categories. We had likely. We had controversial. Mm-hmm. We had spicy.
I'm good at that one.
And we had insane. The very simple concept here, just elevating degrees of ridiculousness. So the first things we talked about were things that we thought were pretty strongly, like not, you weren't really going out on a limb. You were still making a prediction, but you weren't really going out on a limb. And then from there, it gets crazier. So we're going to start, Kurt, with my likely prediction. Are you ready for this?
No.
Here is my likely prediction. Here it comes.
The Brewers are an 82-win team at best. I think the luck runs out, the magic runs out. This is a team that is 500, little above, or just a losing baseball team. You can't convince me that their model at this point is sustainable, that they can continue to find enough around the edges to compete for the National League Central, to compete for a playoff spot. Now, I was wrong last year. I was probably wrong the year before that. I don't even remember what I said, but I'm sure I didn't anticipate that team just running away with the National League Central. I do not think this is a winning baseball team. I will give them enough benefit of the doubt to believe they are like an 82-win team. That's where I put them.
That is a winning baseball team.
That is a winning baseball team, for sure. I just don't see them. I take the under on Vegas. That's my likely prediction.
Well,
why'd you cut it off? I wanted to hear what I said.
I had to do some editing. Sometimes even within the prediction, there's some editing. It's just going to get too long. Oh, we can't
that's
do this.
Fair.
That's
tough. But in fairness to you, as Pat Murphy said all year, no one predicted us to have a winning record. So you were just.
I was part of the team.
Actually, you had 82 wins. You predicted them to have a winning record.
Yes, I did. I said they were going to have a winning record. Barely. I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
So clearly you didn't do enough research. I should have saved this for our predictions pod, because I do remember sometime before we recorded that, at some point I was just like, aren't they just going to be good again?
Okay.
Didn't they have like a 94 or 95 win, expected Pythagorean win? Aren't they just going to do it again?
Yes. Perhaps you did say that. I don't recall that in our conversation.
I definitely said that.
I'm sure we came to that because that's a really good point. It's just that
I think it was my only good point.
I think my whole thought though is that no, they don't have to be good again. They can't keep getting away with it. I can't keep getting away with it meme, and unfortunately, they can keep getting away with it. That's just what they're going to do. They're very, very good at this. Should we go into what your likely prediction was?
No, we should not.
We're going to.
The Brewers All-Stars are threefold. William Contreras, Jackson Churio, and Nestor Cortez. I think we're going to get a crazy first half out of Nestor Cortez where he strikes guys out again and his defense is good. And although with his ground ball rate like under 30%, there is room for this to go very poorly.
Very badly. But
I think the Brewers bucked the trend of how they usually, like the returns they usually get for their stars, and they went out and acquired this guy in this trade specifically, and they can get the most out of him. And he's still like everything about his arsenal says he still should be a pretty to very good starter in this league. I think the Brewers get the most out of him. Those are the three. No Yelich. Sorry. Maybe Oliver Dunn.
So you were right about something. He is going to have a crazy first half of the season because Nestor Cortez had one of our favorite first halves of all time with possibly the worst start in baseball history, followed by six innings of one hit, shutout baseball, and a 1-0 win. Amazing stuff. And then he gets hurt and doesn't pitch again for the Brewers. The next time he pitches, it's San Diego.
Okay. I'm learning. Every year as we go on.
Mm-hmm.
The next time the Brewers acquire someone who's hurt and like their medical say, no, he's not.
Don't trust it.
I will have skepticism.
Rhys Hoskins, Jesse Winker, Nestor Cortez.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Trevor Rosenthal, who never pitched for the Brewers. Do we count Justin Wilson? Probably not.
I don't.
Justin Wilson, who got as far as the bullpen. He's still pitching in the big leagues.
I was there for that. I don't know. He blew out again in the bullpen. That was really bad.
That was amazing. I mean, not amazing. It sucked, but crazy. Nestor Cortez did not become an all-star. Jackson Churio did not become an all-star. William Contreras did not become an all-star. In your defense, there's no way on earth if you had told me the Brewers will have three all-stars. Can you name them? There's no way anyone could have even given you two of those names.
You could have gotten McGill.
You could have gotten Freddie. Freddie was an all-star.
That's true.
So you would have gotten Freddie. And maybe there is a scenario where McGill gets that. But I don't know, dude. That is a very unexpected season. Obviously, the Mizorowski thing was even crazier and unprecedented in many ways. And we haven't talked a lot about the all-star game as being something that could have maybe really hurt Jacob Mizorowski. What do you feel about that? Do you feel like it did?
I think the IL stint, I'm not even going to call it an injury. I think that really messed with his routine.
Yeah. Again, for those who don't remember, he was hit with a comebacker against the Cubs.
Because he couldn't find it.
Yeah. He was pretty bruised up. Like it wasn't not an injury.
Yeah, I mean, but he got hit.
They probably put him on the IL because of A, abundance of caution, and B, we want to lower your image. You know, the limit of innings as well. So
yeah, it was a multiple fold.
Yes.
Move. He tried. He said he wanted to pitch through it, but ultimately they kind of just said, "Nah, this is bad enough. Or we're just going to keep you down for 15 days."
Yeah.
And how many times do Brewers have the minimum IL stay?
That is true. That does not seem to happen very often. Remember when Blake Perkins got hurt coming out of camp and it was going to be like maybe ooh, by the end of April, May?
Tough season.
Yeah, that was a really rough season for him. But yes, injuries always seem to linger. I'm sure the Brewers are actually not alone in this front. But yes, Jacob Mizorowski, an all-star. If you had predicted that, we would have. If we had predicted Jacob Mizorowski all-star, we would be done doing this.
That's why we're doing our bingo card episode.
Yes, we want to change. We will do the predictions as well, but we're going to maybe do a bingo card episode where we just like write down a bunch of things and we'll see if they happen. And then when people say, "I didn't have that on my bingo card," you'll say, we had it on our bingo card. Three homer game for Jefferson Caro, or Joey Ortiz, something bananas like that. All right, let's see if we can find some of these controversial predictions.
I'm going to say that one of the Brewers All-Stars this year is Rhys Hoskins. I say this for two reasons. One, This is the absolute fringe optimistic end of my brain. I think, okay, if the power stays the same, that power that he showed last year was extremely competent. It was very good. Very good first base numbers that you could live with. It was everything else that was a problem. So I am going to bank on him being fully healthy, an extra year removed from surgery, from ACL surgery. And I think he figures it out to some degree, especially in the short sample of the first half. I think he does hit for much better average. Ultimately, I think it's also possible that the Brewers decline enough, like on offense, where Rhys Hoskins is one of the, I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard
to,
the token representative, right? Like, because it is, I can't honestly like visualize a world where William Contreras is not.
This team has good players. Yes, right.
No, I know they do. So I can't quite say that I would go all in on like the token representative, but I feel like him bouncing back would be enough of a feel good story and maybe be the thing people point to when they say, look at the Brewers bucking expectations again. And it's because Rhys Hoskins has kind of found himself again in the second round.
Rhys Hoskins was not an all-star this year. But there's a little morsel there because he did start off really good.
He did.
He was really their best player for the month of April. Best offensive player.
In May, he was pretty good in May as well, I think. There was a lot. Him and Bowers, I believe, if I remember correctly, were doing a lot of the offensive carrying for the first 7-8 weeks.
I don't feel bad isolating on him as a possible, you know, possible all-star.
I'm glad that you don't.
Yes. Retrospect, it doesn't really help me out there. It looks like maybe. Also, I can't imagine a world where William Contreras isn't an all-star, buddy. We got that for you, too. We got everything you wanted in that take. Well done.
It's not my take, I'm catching strays.
Do you think. Is there any chance Rhys Hoskins comes back?
No.
There's none.
You think Scott Boras is going to re up with the Brewers when they shadow banned him?
I forgot that.
Speaking of shadow banned, someone followed that up by saying Rhys Hoskins would be a phantom IL.
I don't recall anyone doing that. That's interesting.
By August.
That is, in fact,
which
what
again
you said.
Is wrong, but.
Yes.
But in the spirit of what ultimately happened.
Yes. Maybe
he was kind of phantom IL. He was rehabbing in Nashville for a month.
You're right. The phantoming came after the actual injury. And then he got, what, all 10 at bats?
He was on the injury.
He got 10 at bats in September.
Nine or 10.
Real, real tough. Yeah. Yes, Kurt, you did follow that up with some real knowledge. And
that was actually my best take. Please play the rest of the hits.
Let's see what we got coming up.
I'm glad you brought this up because I have one. This is not kind of my controversial take, but it is a take I would like to include in mine at the end of the year. It's a secondary take. I have it written down right here. Rhys Hoskins is a phantom IL by the beginning of August. Yeah. The other one here is Ernesto Martinez is the starting first baseman.
I said that?
I'm sorry, but you did.
What?
Those are your words. I'm so sorry. So we're coming up here on your controversial take.
I'm sorry, Jake Bowers.
Garrett Mitchell goes 20-20, maybe 25-25.
Well, he's going to, if he's healthy and in the lineup all year long, he'll get 25 stolen bases. It's about the homers.
Look, I'm just planting my flag at Garrett Mitchell this year. That's what I'm doing. It's been very clear for the past couple of months that I'm in on the Garrett Mitchell train for 2025. There's just something about the profile that works that should not. And we'll see if he stays healthy. A lot of ball game left. He has not done it yet.
Why do I talk? Why do I try?
It's hard when injuries are so prominent. It's hard to really assess because we don't know what Garrett Mitchell's ceiling was. Now, he wasn't great this year in the very limited amount we got to see him. And then he suffered a pretty bad injury that was
really bad injury.
It was
like worse than the labrum tear.
I guess you have to consider it part of his history because this is a shoulder that he's injured before, but it also was a little unlucky.
Yeah, it was isolated from that previous injury, but
yeah. So I don't know. You kind of have to get a little bit of a pass. You said it yourself. Like the challenge with Garrett Mitchell is you just can't assume health. And in a way, you can't assume Christian Yelich is going to be healthy either. And yet he was. So, you know, there's some evidence out there that you could be like, well, let's see what happens if you get a full season of him. 142 games played for Garrett Mitchell in four seasons. Man, it's just not happening, is
it? Yelich played more than that this year, right?
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
He did miss a week or so, but...
Right, but still never went on the injured list. So I'm left to assume without looking it up that he had at least 145 games.
Man.
Real tough.
This is brutal. Okay, just play it all. I got to get done with this.
Yeah, so next up we have Spicy Take.
Oh, yes.
So we get a little bit crazier. I do love
Spicy. Okay. I go 7 out of 10 on the pad thai.
Yes, I'm weakling.
You would be surprised, though, by how great of a range that is. I maybe wouldn't be surprised. Maybe it's actually what you would expect.
Yeah. I am a sweet barbecue guy. I'm at the bottom of the food chain. I take a look at the chart, and I go all the way to the bottom. Those are the flavors I'm after.
You are a white.
I am a white, yes. I am a lightweight, not a very useful person.
My spicy take is that this team is going to steal more bases than they ever have before. Franchise records number of steals. In 1992, this team stole 256 bases. That is the fifth most steals of any team in the last 100 years. It's probably more than that. I just stopped looking at 100. It's actually 105 years, and I stopped looking. They're equipped with a lot of dudes who I think know what they're doing on the base paths. I think this team goes way above and beyond with the steals this year and really ramps up that running game and breaks that mark of 256, which is a big, big number. That's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah.
The Brewers did not have 256 stolen bases. They had 164.
Man. They certainly tried.
Missed it by that much. This is the white man can't jump. Man, you were so close. You only missed by this much. Whoops. I don't even really know why.
Bryce Terang stopped stealing bases and turned into a power hitter.
That's true. That's a big, big one. Bryce Terang was not a stolen base guy this year.
Yelich didn't steal a ton of bases?
Yelich didn't steal a ton of bases this year. They didn't really have anybody.
They got thrown out a ton.
They were bad at stealing bases. They got caught 53 times.
Jeez.
164 steals, jeez. 53 caught stealings to lead the league. What is going on there? Bryce Terang was caught 8 times. He only stole 24 bases. He got caught 25% of the time. What is that? What happened to you, Bryce? You know, Wim Contreras had only 6 steals. That's fine. Whatever. He's a power hitter, I guess. Joey Ortiz wasn't on base that much, only 14. Caleb Durbin had 18, which is fine, but like, he's a speed
actually
guy.
Stole 14
he
bases.
He did. That's actually not bad, considering his...
Yeah, his rate was solid there.
He got on base 27.6%
Caleb
of the
Durbin,
time.
I feel like, stole a lot.
Caleb Durbin stole 18, which isn't bad, but like when speed is a central part of your game and you played 136 games, it's not special.
Not a ton. Not Perkins injury hurt. Mitchell injury hurt.
100%. Although Garrett Mitchell, again, not a wizard when it comes to stealing bases.
And not getting Willie Adames 25 steal season.
That's right. So Churio with 21. That's probably lower than I would have thought. Yelich did end up with 16, but that's
pretty
low. Yeah,
but you're banking on like 25.
You are. Yep. Collins had 16, which isn't bad. Frelick had 19, which isn't bad. Nobody on the bench outside the guys I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, their total wasn't bad.
Well, 164 is okay.
It just turned into a not great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. It is better than okay. It's a top three team in baseball. But still, the caught stealings. Part of what I was citing was we had seen overall bases stealing go way up over the past few years. You know, with the rule changes and
it feel like it sort of plateaued.
It did.
And not having Quentin Berry might have
also something mattered. That I think was very important. Not having Quentin Berry, who I think is maybe a base stealing genius, because guess who did see a increase in stolen bases.
But he was
this year.
Also at third base.
He was at third base, but he's still manning the operation. It's not so much about standing at first base. It's more about, you know, the training and things like that. So, yeah.
All right. Add to my misery.
All right.
I got two written down here. Can I give two or do I only get one?
You can do two. We make the rules. So okay. You can do whatever you want.
We make the rules. Number one, Nick Mears leads the team in saves and is their best reliever. I want this to be in the hands of a 162 game season where Nick Mears saves 25 games. Has
a big
210 ERA, strikes out 12 per 9. And then my second one, Casey Hunt is in the rotation at the end of the year.
Well, that didn't happen. But I will say that right after you said, first of all, Nick Mears as the best reliever. Oops. But
I thought he was going to miss bats. What am I?
Well, he did miss a few. And then he found a few others. Casey Hunt, Right after you said that, I jumped in and I'm like, oh, I totally had Casey Hunt on my list. You stole my next take. Like, Casey Hunt in the playoff rotation was my take.
I should have just left it for you.
You should have left it for me, and then it would be on my name and not yours. We liked Casey Hunt. He did not have that great a year in the minors. At least, I mean, he was fine, but.
Yeah, he didn't take a jump. He stayed in double A all year.
Yeah. So he was never really a threat to make the playoff rotation or any rotation. Maybe next year? I don't know. He could be a dark horse, I think, to break camp with this team.
I got to stop going so off the beaten path.
Well, I mean, that's what makes a good spicy take. I think what you and I both struggle with is finding a likely take that's actually – I mean, I just –
Well,
just
what we struggle record. With is all of it.
Yeah, we struggle with all things. We do not know what we're talking about. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was
I need to do mine when the season ends and everything's still fresh in my mind.
You want to do a predictions podcast like later this week?
No, I'm just going to save them. No one cares about our predictions now.
You need to write them down and then consult them when we get into spring training. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Good try.
Yeah.
Good effort.
Like Jake Bauer's 20 homers?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good.
That's spicy.
It's spicy, but that's right. Spicy. I'm trying to think what would be comparable, like Caleb Durbin leading the team in batting average, I guess. I don't know. That feels lame.
No, that's fine. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
If you believe it.
Brewers trading William Contreras at the deadline.
Oh, now that's right up your alley.
Yeah, that's more of
a... That's your brand.
That's a little crazy. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
This is the last year Pat Murphy is manager of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, wow.
I have no intel. I have no reason to think this other than, I don't know, like, how long does it strike you that he is going to be doing this? Now, he was just manager of the year, first time Milwaukee Brewers manager, his name manager of the year. But, you know, this is kind of the final chapter of his coaching career. I mean, I don't know, like maybe he really does like the Jack McKeon thing and manages into his deep, you know, into his 70s maybe. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me if he's like, you know what, that was a lot of fun. I was able to live out what I wanted to do. The Brewers were really good with me for a couple of years and won a Manager of the Year award. And now maybe it's time to try something else or move on or just kind of retire, basically.
That was my insane take. And this was a substitute take because I did have Casey Hunt on the playoff rotation. I needed something kind of on short notice. So I scrambled a little bit when we did that episode. That was something that had been kind of rattling around in the back of my mind. I don't think it's necessarily crazy to think that Pat Murphy isn't going to do this for a lot longer, but he's probably about to win his second straight Manager of the Year award. I don't really get the sense that now would be the time to walk away. Things have gone quite well for Pat Murphy in his two seasons.
I mean, you could go walk into the sunset as a 2-for-2 Manager of the Year winner.
Is that a take you're willing to make right now?
No, I'm not making that take. That's one way to go out in the sunset.
Yeah, I guess we can't ultimately rule that one out just yet, but I mean, come on. That's true.
It is the last remaining take.
It is the last remaining take that still could be correct.
Oh, I got one.
You got one.
I've got one still left that's not decided.
Oh, I don't know. We have to get into our...
Should we play it?
Aaron Ashby gets Cy Young votes.
Oh, God, Kurt, you already did this. You already tried that. It was bad then.
Oh, I can't quit it. It's my narcotic.
You just made fun of me for even having thoughts that Brock Wilkin could still be a big league contributor this year. This is like Doug Melvin and K-Rod. They ultimately just were meant to be together.
Yes. My drug of choice. It's white and red and it's tied together with seams. And there's some yarn in the middle, and it gets flung from the left side at 98 miles an hour, and it moves like this. And no one else throws anything that moves like that.
Kurt,
it's
Aaron
supposed
Ashby.
To work.
Aaron Ashby's not a starting pitcher.
The rules
Kurt.
Of the universe tells me the Brewers get so much out of so little.
And here's Aaron Ashby with a lot.
They have the world. They have the world. And I will not quit it. I can't. As soon as the DL Hall news came out, it's like, well, Aaron Ashby's the fifth star. Aaron Ashby's in a rotation. Aaron Ashby's going to get innings. Aaron Ashby's going to dominate. Aaron Ashby's never leaving the rotation. Aaron Ashby's going to get Cy Young votes. JR, I believe it in my core, within my bosom, is Aaron Ashby belief.
Kurt, I respect you, Kurt. You take a stand. You stick by it. You are not moving off of that until until it proves untrue. And I don't know what's going to convince you that it's just not going to happen on that level for Aaron Ashby. But I will say this. That man started more postseason games than anybody else, didn't he? I'm not sure that's true, but he was at least tied. He was a contributor at the highest level, I think, Kurt.
Yeah, he's got more playoff starts than Shohei.
That's right. Coming into the World Series, that's true. Man. Well, I mean, he's your guy. And you said on the last show you think maybe he could start this year. So.
At least he was good. At least, unlike year one, right? The first go-round with that.
Well, and I think part of my problem with that is that we have seen him start, and it hasn't been good. It's been ineffective. And not that I think that that's necessarily going to be the case if he tried again. It's just starting didn't work out for him. It wasn't just injuries. Injuries played a role, but it wasn't just that. Like, dude wasn't happening. So.
Well, we didn't really see him start this year.
No, not this year. I mean in past years. Oh, yeah, In past years. Yeah. It didn't work out. That was before, you know, major surgery and such. Yeah. So.
At least he was good.
He was good.
At least I said Aaron Ashby will be good.
Who's going to get Cy Young votes this year that's going to make somebody go like, huh?
I had a Cy Young vote.
Can you tell us? Not yet.
No, I can't reveal it.
I wonder.
But I should. I didn't do it. I don't think I did this, and I should have done it for the memes. I should have clicked his name for in the first place or fifth place.
Nestor?
Ashby. Oh, and just sent it to you.
I see.
It's just as a bit.
Sure,
that's
sure.
What I should have done.
Yeah, then you would have self-fulfilled your own prophecy.
But then I don't want to accidentally.
Right.
Submit that.
No, that's actually a really good call by you. I am trying to think of a pitcher who is going to get votes this year or even an MVP candidate, and you're just like, huh? I don't know.
Oh, it's MVP. There's always some good ones.
There's always
like,
good
like
ones.
Like a Matt Shaw MVP vote will fuel nations.
Feed families. Yeah. Oh, man. There is.
Like a Carson Kelly, like that type of.
Yeah. I don't know if I think those guys, but like. Trying to think, you know, like a Bryson Stott or something like that.
Hmm.
Probably not even him.
A reliever.
Nico Horner could actually get an MVP vote. I could see that happening. A relief pitcher who's
Abner Uribe.
Yeah, or a middle reliever who's really effective, like Matt Strom. You know, somebody. Matt Strom's a good one as a possible side.
Adrian Morahone.
Oh, that wouldn't even be that far fetched.
MVP vote.
No, I'm talking about Cy Young. Does it go to 10 or is it just 5?
Cy Young's 5.
Oh, then we're not going to get any more Yon action in there. But, MVP, I could see, like, Robert Suarez or –
sometimes a closer will sneak in there. Like, Helsley probably got on last year.
probably. All right, we've got a couple more things, a couple of takes.
Okay.
They range from very random to not that random. I'm going to start with very random. I got Tanner Shears throwing important innings for the Brewers this year.
Interesting. Not a name I've thought of. That's really interesting.
You know who that is? You know who Tanner Shears is?
Tell us who Tanner Shears is.
He's like a 26, 27. He's not like a prospect, age prospect. He missed all last year with injury. He throws a disgusting splitter. Like it's unfathomable, really, how nasty it is. He's got great stuff. So I'm going to put him. He's going to be the – like relief prospects don't have to have a whole ton go right, especially when they're that nasty to be in the big leagues. So,
I mean, Jared Koenig is not a name anybody knew last year, and then he was essential for the team.
And
so,
Shears' stuff is like twice as disgusting as Jared Koenig. So, and he throws like mid to upper 90s. So, yeah, that's good. Caleb Durbin and Oliver Dunn combined for 3.5 war. What do you got on that?
I think that's irrational as can be, as you've heard me talk about. But hey, that's a winning baseball team. You know, if that is true, then they are a winning baseball team. That's
that was almost my controversial one, and I would have bumped it up to 4 war for that. But that's not that.
Okay.
That's not as fun as time with Garrett Mitchell. And then my last one, just to get it out there into the void, is the Giants will be questioning majorly questioning the Willie Adames contract by year end.
I think that's not a bad idea. I think the Yankees might regret the Cortez deal too. I just have a feeling. I have a feeling.
Is this a Nestor Cortez tweet or a Devin Williams tweet? Oh,
well,
it's not a Caleb Durbin tweet because you've made your opinions there.
I mean, ultimately, it's really hard for that to happen because Nestor is a 1-year player for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Devin Williams will.
So therefore, it has to be a Devin Williams tweet.
I think, yeah, I think reliever volatility is always something in the back of my mind. And I think Devin Williams is very special, but reliever volatility is just always there. And Cortez, you've said this before. It's, I think, your words. The Brewers making that trade get better at a position they needed to get better at in the starting rotation. And there's a likelihood that he will have a greater impact, Nestor Cortez will with the Brewers, than Devin Williams will with the Yankees. And if Devin Williams falls off at all, New York's a different animal. I could see it going bad. I could see it going bad.
I'm going to throw another one. Cooper Pratt makes his debut.
I like that. And I would have said the same thing. I think Cooper Pratt appears on this team at some point this year.
Well, that's a little bit of a mixed bag. We had
a little bit.
Well, Tanner Shears was released by the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers very early in the season.
Yeah, he came back from Tommy John throwing like 93.
It wasn't happening.
And throwing to different area codes.
It wasn't working out. That did not hit. Caleb Durbin, 2.9 WAR this year by Baseball Reference.
That.
You should. Now,
I take that.
Oliver Dunn makes it 2.7 because you have to go backwards. but
take that.
Yeah, that's really close to 3.5. I am super, super impressed with you there. That has to count. Will the Giants regret the Willy Adames trade? Probably, but not because of this.
I don't think they regret the contract right now.
No. He had a nice year.
He hit 30 homers, right?
Yeah. Yep. Fine year. He hit, I think it was in his last at bat, he got to 30.
He was far from their problem.
He was not their problem. The Giants, though, did go backwards. Will the Yankees regretting the Devin Williams trade? Yes.
Yes.
That
yes,
was a
they
hit.
Did.
That was a hit. Devin still had a reasonable year. He just had some blowups that were very high profile because it's New York, but also because they were pretty bad. And he had ended up completely distorting his stats for the year. I don't know what happens with him next if he comes back to New York or somewhere. I don't think New York is a fit for that guy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I wish him well. I really enjoyed Devin Williams when he was here, and I think he is still very special. It was not his best year. Will the Yankees regret the deal? I mean, maybe. Nestor obviously wasn't a factor. Caleb Durbin could be. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think we might have hit on that one. We'll see. I feel like there's one more thing here, Kurt, that I want to play.
Ortiz is my quantum leap candidate.
Mm.
I should have put him. I don't think I made a bold a prediction about it in our prediction show, did I?
No, there was nothing said about Joey Ortiz.
I regret that. I regret that immensely.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're predicting Garrett Mitchell breakouts and Aaron Ashby Cy Young votes. There's not a lot of room.
Pain, sadness consumes me.
Yes.
I should have gone Joey Ortiz MVP votes. Can we change that? Is that
you know
is
what?
That
let me make a note that on
an addendum
on the March 18th episode, you said the words Joey Ortiz MVP votes because I do think I can clip this audio and use it later in life. That's right.
Well, we're gonna go out with a bang. Joey Ortiz will not be receiving MVP votes. It's a real tough year for Joey Ortiz. He had a 66 OPS plus. He had a 593 OPS. Sure played good defense. Can't take that from him. He was a 0.3 WAR player, so that's above average. By far the worst regular in the lineup for the Milwaukee Brewers. That's all I have. Kurt, I'm so sorry. That was not our predictions episode. You came back a month later and we're like, I forgot to talk about Joey Ortiz. We were wooed by Eno Saris, who wrote for The Athletic. He's tremendous. Wrote about Joey Ortiz. Maybe, like, we looked at this 2024 and he really fell off because of this neck injury. Maybe he's really as good as he was in April and May of 2024. Extrapolate that over a full healthy season and see what you get. I got to tell you, it's not what you get. You get what you got in the second half of 2024, I'm real sorry to say. We'll see where this goes from here. How you doing, Kurt? We had things. We had ideas.
I don't know what to even... I have nothing to say for myself.
We have to apologize. Let's move into something a little bit more upbeat. We'll look back at the season. We got to do this real fast because I got...
What the f-
Mistakes were made. Hey, by both of us. I mean, I said
I don't even remember saying that.
Well, yeah, you probably...
Was that AI? Did you AI that?
I am not good enough with AI to get you to say things on like that. But yeah, you definitely said it. volunteered it because that was not our predictions episode. You wanted that on the record.
Oh, man.
And there it is.
That's tough scene.
It's so bad. Honestly, Aaron Ashby MVP votes or Aaron Ashby Cy Young votes is
I'm really bad
the better
at this.
Take.
I am really bad at this.
Let's go through some of our favorite moments from the year. We'll do a three up, three down. It doesn't have to be, we'll just pick five. We don't have to go crazy on this. Everybody remembers this stuff. I'll be honest, when I write about it, like, hey, look at the great moments of the year, people don't really read that because they are into what happened in the postseason. We talked a lot about the Sal Frelick play in Chicago, or not in Chicago, but against the Dodgers in game one of the NLCS on one of our recent episodes. That's probably the play of the year, I think, if you just given the stakes. I think if you go back and look at it, that's going to be the one. So this doesn't have to be plays that were obviously great. This could just be things that we really enjoyed and we wanted to revisit real quickly. Why don't you go first? Do you have something in mind that you want to take first, or do you want me to?
No, you go ahead.
All right.
I'm having a tough go of it
now. All right. I'm going to go back to the Alumni Home Run Derby. Very unique idea that the Brewers had in 2025. Absolute home run. That is a play on words, of course. Everything about it ruled because you had guys coming back from not really different eras, but like, you know, different eras. Guys who were primarily very popular. The guy who won, Keon Broxton, is probably the least popular, I would say, of the guys who came back. And I love that he, being one of the, you know, guys who most recently left baseball, still had that home run power in him. I love that he won, that they did the bowling ball celebration, the famous Prince Fielder bowling ball celebration at home plate. It got people very excited. They lost the game, but everybody stayed to watch this just totally great idea by the Milwaukee Brewers to bring those guys back. It's a difficult thing to replicate. I don't think you can just have those same guys come back next year. I mean, you can bring in other players, but that's not a very deep pool of players who are beloved and also still capable of hitting home runs. So you can't go too far. There's not too many people you can pull from, but just a great assembly, you know, Eric Thames and Nigel Morgan and, of course, Braun and Fielder. And, you know, even like Casey McGee, and there's just a real connection that Brewers fans have with these players. I think that's probably true in a lot of places, but really is special in Milwaukee and really, really a cool thing that ended up being, I think, one of the hits of the summer.
Yeah, that was an awesome day. JR, I'm going to go with, you can say it got overplayed by the end of the year, but the pocket pancakes.
Yeah.
Was a pretty funny bit.
It was really good. Did you see the Milwaukee Bucks presented him with pocket pancakes at the home opener against Washington?
This is where I preface with maybe it got overplayed a bit.
Maybe, or maybe it broke contain and is transcendent and people are going to think about Pat Murphy as the pancake guy.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's definitely broke contain, that's for sure. But that was a fun day. That was one of my favorite days on the beat. Washington, D.C. post-trade deadline, Pat Murphy was a specimen. Unlike anything else I will probably ever cover. He was just on one that entire weekend, and it culminated – well, I guess it led off actually with him pulling a pancake out of his pocket on live television.
Yes.
And of course, as we've talked about, this is the thing he does. He puts unconventional foods in his pockets to eat later as a morsel. But that post-game interview with him that day where I asked him kind of deadpan, so you just put pockets in your pancake? Or you just like have things in your pancake during the game? And he riffs off whatever his answer was. That was pretty funny. I had a good time at my job that night. And we will remember that as one of the things we remember from this season is the pocket pancakes.
And how it – you mentioned the trade deadline. Disappointing trade deadline for Brewers fans who are hoping to see more. Yeah. I bet even Pat Murphy was a little bummed to not see some infusion. I'm sure he's really a big believer in the clubhouse.
So that's my theory. That's my tinfoil hat that I don't even think is a tinfoil hat.
Which is? What do you mean?
The timing of the pocket pancake interview was not coincidental. That's where I stand.
To some degree, it's not. You know, they
needed a distraction
for that.
I'm saying like the team, the fans. Do you remember how tense it was?
Yes, I do.
It was insanely tense.
I just don't know if you could have gotten Apple TV. It required a sideline interview.
They knew. Yeah, the sideline interviewer knew what he was going to pull.
She did. Yes, I knew. Yeah. I know, but But like, I'm saying, I don't know if they are a co-conspirator and like, oh, the Brewers want to like talk about his food in his pockets.
No. I think Murph wanted a distraction.
Yes.
That's my tinfoil hat.
I think that's, of course, correct. Now, not only is it the trade deadline day and people are bummed, the Brewers and the pocket pancakes become a thing. That is the first of 14 consecutive mm-hmm. victories. They immediately rattle off mm-hmm. 14 consecutive victories.
Is this your number two?
No. You know what? It could be. You know what? Let's do it. Let's make it my number two. They won 14 straight games. That's never happened before. Six of those games were the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that hadn't been swept by in a series of that length since 2006 by the Cardinals. That's crazy. Obviously, it didn't serve them well at the end of the year when they faced the Dodgers again. But this streak was so wild. It, of course, triggered the George Webb promotion when they swept the Pirates. And then they go on the road into Cincinnati. And who goes on the road with them? Me. I take my children to Cincinnati, Ohio. I can do this because my parents live in Lexington, Kentucky, which is not next door, but it is not far. It is a two-hour drive or less to the Cincinnati Stadium. They go to Reds games all the time. And I thought, you know what? If they're going to tie the franchise record for consecutive victories, which was 13 at the time, I want to see it. So I dragged my children on a random Friday night in the summer to Great American Ballpark. We've seen some games there before. And my daughter was very upset because the Brewers went down 8-1. And she, you know, it had been a long drive. You know, it's not easy to get there. And she was basically saying, and I couldn't tell her she was wrong, we drove all this way for nothing. They're going to lose. And I'm tired. And I had a long drive. And what was even the point of this? And you know what? Fair 11-year-old daughter. You're correct. But then a funny thing happened. The Brewers came back and won that game. Andrew Vaughn had a big 3-run homer. Christian Yelich homered twice with the Bob Uecker bat, the custom-made Bob Uecker bat for Players Weekend. Bob Uecker was, of course, a theme throughout the 2025 season. Just a wild, ridiculous comeback. A lot had to go right in that game. And then the following night, we were not there for that. We were in Kentucky hanging out with my parents. Andrew Monasterio, of all people, hits an extra innings home run to win a game again, a 3-run homer to preserve the winning streak to a 14th game that sets the franchise record. Brewers almost won the next night, actually. William Contreras hit a late home run and it
wow, yeah.
Also lost an extra.
I was there and I forgot about that.
Yeah, that almost was 15, but it was 14. Andrew Monasterio, the light-hitting backup infielder who had a very, very good season overall with the moment of the year, or one of the moments of the year, hitting that home run. Just not something you could have you script it like that. That's like Oakland A's and Moneyball stuff, you know, to have that guy be the one who hits the big home run. And that was very fun. It ended up being a great moment with my kids. I love going to baseball games with my kids, as I'm sure a lot of dads do. So that was a very, very fun thing to take a road trip and have it pay off. And I was with my dad, you know, my dad was there too. So that was super fun. And I know Brewers fans are going to remember that winning streak for a long, long time. It's crazy that they also had an 11-game winning streak coming within one game. And again, one game of the George Webb promotion, they lost that game 1-0 with Mizorowski on the hill in Seattle against a team that reached the ALCS, and they really almost won. Cal Raleigh's home run is the only run in that game. So there easily could have been a second George Webb promotion in the same season. This is a promotion that has only been triggered twice before in history. 1987 and then in 2018. So wild. It was just honest. I mean, Mark Adonazio said it, a summer of entertainment and passion, and we made fun of it, and we were right to make fun of it.
That's what you got.
We definitely got it.
That's what you got.
We definitely got a summer of entertainment and passion. What a wild time.
One of my favorite stories of the year, it wasn't even one that Todd or I wrote. It was Dave Coleman, our colleague. I helped him with all the interviews. We walked around the clubhouse and talked to guys of, hey, do you know what George Webb is?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, Craig Counsell's never seen a George Webb, famously.
This is true.
What a liar.
This is true.
Craig Counsell's a liar. I'm sorry.
LeBron Counsell.
Yes.
Speaking of Craig Counsell.
Let's do it.
We've got to go to NLDS.
Of course. Let's talk about it.
Because the reason this season, I mean, look, there's a lot of nuances to a baseball season, but the reason this season was a success and will be looked at as such isn't that they won 97 games. It isn't that they won 14 in a row. It's that they won a playoff series, and they did it against the Cubs.
Bye, Craig.
So all the jokes online after the Brewers beat the Cubs were about how, you know, congrats on your World Series. And, well, you know what? After they got absolutely smoked by the Dodgers, guess what? That was their World Series. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the hangover from it had anything to do with it. I think they just got bludgeoned by the Dodgers. But that was the high point of the season for them.
They beat Craig Council's team at home in a playoff series after losing their last, what, five? Six? They lost their last six playoff series. Seven. They go back to the Dodgers. They hadn't won a playoff series since 2018.
Yeah.
That's a huge monkey on your back. And think about what the downside would have been if you lose that series. That's tough to come back from for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was, if you count the Washington wildcard game, six straight playoff series losses. And then,
well, you'd have to count the Dodgers.
That's one, though. You got 18, 19,
but six straight 20. For six straight immediate playoff exits.
No. Six counting the Dodgers because it's 18, 19, 20,
oh, okay.
21, and then 22, they don't make the playoffs. So 23, 24, that's six.
Sure.
But still, like, whatever. Obviously, a lot of people are focusing on the fact that the Brewers haven't won a playoff series since then, since 2018. And this one comes down to the wire. They obviously went up 2-0 and then saw that lead go away. It was just like 2011 when they had beaten the Diamondbacks. They needed a dramatic fifth game, and you get three homers, you get good pitching, and it worked out. That was an electric night. That was just an incredible night. Already mentioned, I think, recently Trevor McGill running in from the bullpen.
Miz.
You know, Mizorowski, of all people, having that outstanding showing.
Yeah.
You know, and part of his great postseason. Everybody in the bullpen contributing. Abner Uribe's very quiet ninth inning. You know, you finally got a homer from Bryce. You get a homer from Vaughn. You get a homer from Contreras. Like some of the main characters in the 2025 season. That was a very, very special night. It was the high point of the season. And yes, they celebrated with an L flag afterwards that they grabbed from a fan. People need to move on from that. Just looking at you, Chicago. That was just a very spontaneous. It was not it just wasn't that malicious. It wasn't as malicious as they wanted to be. All right, here's another one. Jackson Chourio turned this season around. And, of course, that's not entirely true. You can't look at one moment and say that's the pivot point of the season. But when Jackson Chourio made a catch against mm-hmm. the Twins, robbed Royce Lewis of a home run,
mm-hmm.
saved the game because the Brewers go on to win that game in a close fashion, everything turns around from there. This team followed that 1982 pathway to a T. They were not very good for the first month and a half. They were below average. And they were kind of looking like a team that wasn't going to be able to keep up with the Cubs. And then they just flipped it. They flipped the switch. Jackson Chourio saving a home run. I don't think anybody's going to look at Jackson Chourio's season and say it was as good as people would have hoped it would be, but it was still very solid for a 21-year-old kid to come back and kind of replicate
and
what he did.
And he was on a tear, too, when he strained his hamstring.
That's right. He was red hot.
We see it when he turns it on. He had turned it on.
That's right. It was looking really good. And then he had to take a break and – he does hit two homers in the postseason. He manages to fight through a bad hamstring and ends up being a pretty valuable part of what they did. You know, he had a double as well against the Dodgers. So nice year for him and that catch. Just whether it's not causation, but like it just happened to be the moment where things flipped on their head and the Brewers became the best team in baseball. It certainly wasn't the best team in baseball for the first 6 weeks. So very memorable pivot point. As defense often is with this team. Defensive plays often change things around for this team.
I will cap it, JR, with Mizorowski coming on the scene.
So great.
That may have been – I mean, so many special things happened this year, but that might have been the most electrifying moment because it truly was a moment that captured the attention of the league and obviously makes the All-Star game after only five starts. But his first game against the Cardinals – coming out and no runs, right, I believe?
No runs,
no hits?
Did not allow a hit for the first 11 innings.
And then that second outing in Minnesota takes a perfect game into the seventh inning. 11 innings to start your big league career without any hits while throwing 101, 102, turning Willie Castro into putty. And then was it his next start against Skeens? Was that his third game?
Yes.
It was?
Yes.
Outdueling... I mean, the amount of hype that was around that kid in his third career start, like he has – there is nothing that he will face now that he's not like already seen in the big leagues. That start had as much hype as you can have for a midseason game. It was 42,000 for a Wednesday afternoon against the Pirates, and he outdueled Paul Skeens, of course. Then he gets the Dodgers, outduels Clayton Kershaw. And there was some other start in there that was...
The Mets start. We won't... His third... That might have been his third start, with Skeens as fourth.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Yeah, I think so.
I think the serendipity of facing Skeens, who really, you know, when he came out of the scene, every start was a must-see moment. That's what the Brewers got with Jacob Mizorowski. And it was a little more short-lived because he did have those struggles in the second half and maybe lost that shine a little bit. But that, you just can't, you know, the odds of all that coming together, of it being the Pirates and Skeens on a Wednesday afternoon to really accentuate when they fill that place how meaningful of a moment that is,
yeah,
and how exciting it is, and to have him win that game and to have him show this emotion and to be this great guy right out of the gate. In a way, I think you could argue it's a perfect season because, A, even though he struggled, they got to the NLCS, and then in the playoffs he had a moment where he really stepped up and showed that he could still be this guy.
Right,
and
he stepped back into the hero's role.
That's right.
Because that, I mean, it still would have been incredible what he did without it, but I think you learn even more about the kid by him struggling, and then
yes,
it feels more of a heroic step forward than just him dominating throughout the entire season. Like in hindsight, you like to see a guy struggle.
That's right.
Like Jackson Chourio's first 2 months, you did not like to see it when it happened, but you like to see a guy struggle and then make the adjustments and then get better.
And those struggles didn't matter, you know, like because the Brewers still won 97 games. I mean, heck, that Cincinnati game where they went down 8-1, it's because Mizorowski fell apart. It didn't matter because they won the game.
They won,
They didn't suffer because Mizorowski had to go through it. But now he's been through it, and he came out on the other side, at least in the playoffs, and, you know, there'll be new pressures next year too, but it kind of feels like he made it through the gauntlet, and he's still in good shape, and so are the Brewers. You know, the Brewers still got their best possible seasons, so he really was fun. He was really special this year, and I would have liked to have seen more Craig Yoho. We talked about Yoho and Mizorowski a lot in tandem during last season's set of podcasts. I think he could have been pretty cool too, but we're talking about different stakes. We're talking about a relief pitcher versus Mizorowski as a starter, and I really am interested to see what happens going forward. I'll just run through a few other things that we didn't highlight specifically, but you had Nestor Cortez and the Torpedo Bats to start the year. Incredible start to the season. We've mentioned that before. Nestor Cortez with one of the most wild seasons in Brewers history. Just two starts. The Quinn Priester trade that I think both of us shook our heads at a little bit, didn't quite understand it. Obviously, that worked out to great, great effect for the Milwaukee Brewers. You got some walk-off homers. Christian Yelich with a walk-off grand slam. Caleb Durbin, of all people, who not known for his power, with a walk-off hit to save the Brewers against San Diego. That was kind of a fun game with those with the City Connect jerseys on. RIP to the City Connect jerseys. We're going to see new ones going forward, I believe. You had Aaron Civale demanding a trade. One of our favorite moments of the year.
That happened.
It turned into Andrew Vaughn, who ended up being a revelation. Andrew Vaughn homering in his very first at-bat with the Milwaukee Brewers. That was against the Dodgers. That's nice. Brandon Woodruff's return from injury, a very uplifting moment. And to have him be effective was really, really valuable, of course, to this team. You had the Power of Friendship t-shirts, thanks to Trevor McGill's offhanded quote. Or maybe not offhanded, just sort of weird quote in the USA Today. The cribbage board giveaway brought a lot of people into American Family Field, became a very, very hot item in Milwaukee this summer. Blake Perkins throwing out a runner at the plate. Starling Marte of the Mets at the plate to get the final out of the game. Second year in a row, Blake Perkins has recorded the 27th out with an outfield assist at the plate. You had the Euchre farewell against the Giants, which was extremely well done. Really a great grace note on just the way this team has celebrated Bob Euchre all season. You had a guy retrieving a bat stuck in a net at Wrigley Field. You and I were both there for that. You took some great photos of that when I forget whose bat it was now. I should know that. It was Sal Freelix. He lost his bat during – it got stuck in the netting behind home plate, and the guy just climbed up there and got it and then got it signed after the game. Jesus Mate was really good. We talked about him a lot. Top prospect in baseball, question mark. Maybe at this time next year we'll see that. I'm not sure, but he'll still be the top prospect in this organization. Very, very bright things ahead. That kid is just a teenager, and he's going to be very, very special. And, hey, they had the best record in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers, this team that I thought was going to win 82 games, gave them the benefit of the doubt and give them an 82nd win. They won 97 games. Best record in baseball. Crazy season. What a great time. Summer of entertainment and passion. It was very real, Kurt. Any last thoughts?
No. It was a very good year for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think that's the note you should walk away from. Maybe burned by the Dodgers series. Feel however you want. Actually, who am I to tell you?
Yeah.
But I would say it was a great year. A very, very fun summer. Very fun. I like you talking about those Reds games at the end of that win streak. Just brings back like sitting in the press box and goosebumps. Trying to figure out how to describe this. Like it was indescribable what we watched, and then
Obviously, it didn't cap off with the World Series, which may have made it the most magical sports season for any Wisconsin sports team ever. But obviously, that wasn't in the cards. But they did win a playoff series. They won 97 games. It was a fantastic season for the Milwaukee Brewers, and now we turn the page.
I can't speak to how people feel about it, but really, it was the first time since 2018, and even maybe before that, where you feel really good about how it ended. Because 2019, there's heartbreak. 2020 is a pandemic. 21, really good team that shouldn't have gotten beat by the Braves. 22, they don't make the playoffs. And 3 and 4, you've got some heartbreaking losses in the first round and the wild card round. It felt like they reached their ceiling. You know, they did something they've never done before. That's win 97 games. Then they won a playoff series on top of it against the Cubs. Yes, they got swept by the Dodgers. But, like, I just don't feel like one or two things changes that outcome. You know, it would have taken a Herculean shift from what we saw. It feels like they got the most out of this team that they could get. And now the big thing is, how do you get that last step? How can you get past a team like the Dodgers when it comes down to it in the NLCS? They'll have to figure that out, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, through the offseason. It's because they're going to sign all these free agents, Kurt. Everyone knows that. They're just going to, like,
the minor league ones?
Rule 5? Did someone say Rule 5? Thank you for listening to Microbrew with us every week. I don't know when we're next going to come at you. There'll be updates. There'll be winter meetings. There'll be stuff to discuss. We're not going to let you go forever, but hopefully, if you're interested in the Milwaukee Bucks, you can check out the Point Forward podcast with Jim Ozarski. We've got that. Should have a new episode for you just about every week, looking at those Bucks. And, yeah, we'll catch up with you very soon. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again.